Sunday Showcase, highlighting some of the best audio storytelling found anywhere. All right here on the Mutual Audio Network.
The following audio drama is rated PG for parental guidance recommended.
This is Project Audion, timeless audio dramas for modern times, created the classic way. Hello, I'm Larry Groby with the Generic Radio Workshop. New York City is a place with as many personalities as there are people, and as many stories as there have been writers around to tell them. And no version of 20th century New York and its inhabitants is more distinctive than the one which Damon Runyon wrote about. It is perhaps incumbent upon me to remind you who Damon Runyon was. He was the guy behind Guys and Dolls. That is the classic musical about gamblers and gangsters, dames and innocent girls, and the oldest established permanent floating crap game in New York. These are all classic Runyonist characters and situations, types that Alfred Damon Runyon knew well. After all, he was born in Manhattan. Manhattan, Kansas, however. He arrived in New York City in 1910 as a newspaperman and sports writer, and promptly began also creating short stories based on the colorful, streetwise types he saw around town. Tough guys, but with hearts of gold, and a curiously formal manner of speaking. His whimsical short story collections have long been popular, and they are good material for movies, too. Besides Guys and Dolls, you can find Shirley Temple as Little Miss Marker, Bob Hope as the Lemon Drop Kid, and Frank Capra filmed one of his stories twice. In 1949, a few years after Runyon's death, 52 of his tales were adapted into a syndicated radio series, the Damon Runyon Theater, which really captured the sharps and the sports of the 20th century New York he loved. And meanwhile, this year, writer Casey Keller, who is himself no mean spinner of stories, having written for Love Boat and Beekman's World, challenges himself to craft a new yarn in the Runyon vernacular. How well he does, and how well Project Audion manages to imitate that inimitable style, makes for a more than somewhat interesting half hour, which I am happy to present to you at this time.
The Damon Runyon Theater. Once again, the Damon Runyon Theater brings you another story by the master storyteller, Damon Runyon. And this one, Ringside Rosie. And to tell it to you, here is Broadway.
Thanks. Here on Broadway, if you have a few shekels in your pocket or you know a guy who knows a guy, you can get tickets to just about anything. But my friend Stickpin Charlie had neither shekels nor connections to get some ducats he needed in a bad way. And what happens is quite a story, and one which I will tell you in a minute.
If your shoes are beginning to lose some of their newness and smart appearance, try shining them with Griffin Lotion Cream. You'll be really delighted with the result. Griffin Lotion Cream is a shoe polish and leather conditioner combined. It gives shoes a kind of health and beauty treatment in one operation. And it's easy to apply, too. You just rub it into the leather, then brush or buff the shoes to a shine. Griffin Lotion Cream is available in all popular colors in both 10 and 25 cent sizes. So ask for Griffin Lotion Cream, the shoe shine that comes in a bottle.
And now, back to Damon Runyon Theater and the famous story, Ringside Rosie.
So, one day, I'm at Mindy's waiting on more sour cream for my blintzes when in walks my old pal Stickpin Charlie. We call him Stickpin because he never goes anywhere without his pearl stickpin, kind of his trademark. Charlie is usually a happy-go-lucky kind of guy, but today he has a frown in great need of being turned upside down.
Hello, Broadway.
Charlie, pull up a blintz.
No, thanks. I got no appetite.
You? No appetite? Charlie, you are the guy who won Nathan's hot dog eating contest and ate the trophy for dessert. There must be something that is troubling you.
There is. Tonight's title fight at the Garden is sold out, and I cannot get my hands on any ducats.
I did not know you were such a fight fan.
I am not, but my girlfriend is. I promised Rosie I would take her tonight.
You must be talking about Ringside Rosie. I know she does not get that name from standing outside a jewelry store.
The doll loves the fights. Nothing she likes better than watching some palooka's face getting pounded into hamburger with a side of cauliflower ears. Between us fellas, it gets her in the mood.
Seeing a guy in his underwear being fed knuckle sandwiches makes her, amorous?
That, my friend, is an understatement.
Hey, who am I to judge?
And I want her in the mood because tonight I am going to ask her to be Mrs. Stickpin Charlie.
Upon saying this, Charlie pulls out a ring box and flashes a diamond ring. No, I do not require sunglasses to look at it, but it has a very sincere sparkle.
So I just got to get those tickets.
This should not be so difficult. Did you ask Nicely Johnson?
He turns me down. And not very nicely.
How about Nathan Detroit? He is always reliable.
I did.
And?
He asked if I can get him tickets.
What about Sal Manilli?
I would ask him first, but Sally is in Philly working the corner for the kid gloves fight.
Charlie, this is indeed a quandary. Sounds like it is time for us to visit Lenny Goldstein.
Lenny Goldstein? This is a citizen of whom I have never heard.
Know a fighter named Ricardo Tunzi?
Sure.
Same guy. After Max Baer wins the title, Ricardo finds he could get more fights with a Star of David on his trunks, so he changes his name to Lenny Goldstein.
And you think I might get some passes from Ricardo?
Lenny.
Right, Lenny. Think he would be good for some passes?
Let us go see him, once I have finished these blintzes.
Waiter. How about an order of blintzes for me? Make that two orders.
So, we haul ourselves up a million stairs to Silvio's gym, where Lenny does his training. The place smells like boxing gloves, cigar smoke, and eau de bo. We walk up to Silvio.
Hello, Silvio. We are here looking for Lenny.
Lenny?
Ricardo?
Oh, right. Lenny. Over there, sparring in the ring.
So Charlie and me walk up to the ring, and...
Hey, Lenny. Got a minute?
Lenny?
Ricardo.
Oh, that's me. Oh, right in the kishkis.
Lenny, Charlie here needs a couple of tickets to tonight's fracas.
We thought you might have some extra.
I do.
That is great.
If you got a 50 clams.
50 clams is an awful lot of lettuce. Would you take 10?
$10 for a title, a fight? How about you kiss my, what's the word?
Tookus?
That's right, tookus. How about you kiss it?
Broadway, I do not suppose you could lend me...
Charlie, please do not mistake me for a bank. It is time to begin our long trek back down to the street.
Hey, hold on a minute. Maybe there is something you can do.
Name it.
I need a mezuzah.
A what?
A mezuzah. You know, that charm they wear, I mean we wear on a chain around our neck. There is a prayer inside or something. It's supposed to be a good luck. Or as my people say, a mazel tov.
Okay.
Tonight, I'm going to fight the killer whales. I need all of the mazel tov I can get.
And where do we get this thingy?
From a friend of mine, Knuckles Malloy. He's supposed to buy me one and bring it here. But he cannot get out of work. If you go get it from him, I will give you the tickets.
Okay. Well, where does Knuckles work?
At the library.
The what?
You know, that big building on Fifth Avenue. The one with the lions in front.
Is that what that is?
You get me a mezuzah, and I give you the tickets.
You have got yourself a bargain, Lenny.
Lenny? Oh, that's me.
So, as me and Charlie hoof it down Fifth Avenue, I am wondering how Knuckles Malloy can possibly work in a library.
Broadway, it is kind of spooky how quiet it is in here.
Shh, Charlie. We are in a library. It is supposed to be quiet so people can hear themselves read.
That must be him.
Now, if you are wondering how come this guy is called Knuckles, give a listen.
Hey, are you Knuckles?
Who wants to know?
Benny Goldstein sent us.
Who?
Ricardo Tunzi.
Oh, that Lenny Goldstein.
I am supposed to pick up his,
His mezuzah, right?
Yeah, that.
I ain't got it. My old lady is of the tribe, and she was going to pick one up, but the babysitter did not show. Why do you not go get a mezuzah yourself?
I do not know what one is, much less how to pick a good one. Do you think if I watched the baby, your missus would go get it?
I do not know. She's awfully fussy about who watches Knuckles Jr.
Maybe you could call her and kind of tell her Charlie here is the right guy.
I would be happy to. If we had a phone.
Well, if we go over there and tell her Charlie is your friend, think she would go get the thing?
Guess it's worth a try.
So, Charlie and I hot-footed over to Knuckles' apartment.
Jamie, you are so late. I could just go...
Wait a minute. You are not Jamie. And I already have a vacuum cleaner.
No, Mrs. Malloy. I am not here to sell you a Hoover. I am Charles Gleason, known to my friends as Tick Ben Charlie.
We are friends of Knuckles.
Knuckles?
Works at the library. Noisy hands.
Your husband?
Oh, Percival. What do you want?
We would like to help you out with a little babysitting.
Why?
So you can go get the good luck charm for Lenny Goldstein.
Who?
Ricardo Tunzi.
Oh, that Lenny Goldstein. So, you want to keep an eye on Percival Jr. while I run out and pick up a mezuzah, huh?
That is the plan.
What are you, Meshuggah? I am not letting two mugs I never met watch my baby.
Leave us go.
Hold on a second.
What?
I do not suppose you could loan me $50.
So, the fight is in a few hours and Stickpin Charlie has not yet procured tickets. What is the next step? Stick around and I will tell you in a minute.
It's a fact. More and more folks are turning to Wild Root Cream Oil every day. Wild Root Cream Oil gives you all you ever dreamed of in a hair tonic. It grooms your hair neatly and naturally, the way other people like it. What's more, Wild Root Cream Oil relieves dryness and removes loose, ugly dandruff. So join the millions with handsome hair. Tonight, or first thing tomorrow, ask at your drug or toilet goods counter for Wild Root Cream Oil. Also, ask your barber for a professional application. If you have never tried it before, get the generous new 25-cent bottle just introduced. It is Wild Root Cream Oil's Get Acquainted size, and once you have made the acquaintance of Wild Root Cream Oil, you will find you have made a lifelong friend.
Get Wild Root Cream Oil, Charlie. It keeps your hair in trim. You see, it's non-alcoholic, Charlie. It's made with soothing lanolin. You better get Wild Root Cream Oil, Charlie. Start using it today. You'll find that you will have a tough time, Charlie. Keeping all the gals away. Hiya, Baldy. Get Wild Root right away.
And now, back to the Damon Runyon Theater and the famous story, Ringside Rosie.
So, Stickpin Charlie's plan to propose to his girl tonight has hit a snag. She will not be in the mood to say yes if she is not at the fights, and she will not be at the fights if Charlie cannot get tickets. Ricardo Goldstein will sell him ducats for $50 or a mezuzah, but with no clams and no mezuzah, it looks like it's time for him to face a hard truth. Charlie, it appears you are running out of options. Maybe it is time for a visit to Blackie and Whitey's.
Forget it.
Of course, I am referring to the famous pawn shop run by partners Blackie White and Whitey Black. One of them is white and the other is of the colored persuasion, and nobody is quite sure which one is which. Charlie does not care for this idea.
Broadway, I cannot pawn the diamond ring. It takes me months to save up for it.
There will be other months.
I know, but...
Will there be other Rosies?
Okay, you are right.
Charlie pulls the ring box from his pocket, gives the sparkler a sad look, and says,
Sorry, pal. Looks like it is goodbye for now.
Then, Charlie heads down 42nd Street, and what happens there is as follows.
Hello, Whitey?
I am Blackie.
Sorry.
No worries. I get that all the time. What can I do for you?
You can give me 50 clams.
You got something to hawk, or is this a sticker?
I got this ring.
Let me see.
So Charlie shows him the ring. Blackie sticks a jeweler's loop in his eye and gives the sparkler the once over. Like I say, it is not the Hope Diamond.
I'll give you 30 simoleons.
How much is that in dollars?
30.
How about in clams?
Still 30.
But that ring cost me $100.
Look. If you do not like this deal, you can go pawn your kneecaps out on the street.
Charlie was very attached to his kneecaps.
Come on, Blackie, have a heart.
I had a heart. I lost it pawning cheap diamond rings. Maybe you got something else to hawk?
I cannot think of anything.
Not even that toil stick pin?
Not the stick pin? Without it, I would not be Stickpin Charlie. I would not be me.
So tell the truth. Is it really that great being you?
Not at this particular moment. Okay, here you go.
So, Charlie now has $50, and he is about to climb back up the 1,000 steps to Silvio's gym, where he can pay Ricardo Tunzi, or Lenny Goldstein, or whatever he is calling himself this afternoon, for the tickets. But who does he see coming out of the gym but his pal, Sal Minnelli? Now, if that name sounds familiar, you are undoubtedly a fight fan of some sophistication. That is because Sally is a cut man. The guy in the fighter's corner who patches him up between rounds. And between you and me, there is none better. It is said that with some iodine and adhesive tape, he can reattach a fighter's head to said fighter's torso.
Just the man I want to see.
Who are you?
Sally, I am your pal, Stickpin Charlie.
Oh, sorry, Charlie. I did not recognize you without your stickpin.
I thought you were in Philly working the coroner for Kid Gloves.
The kid gets disqualified. The boxing commission has this stupid rule. If a fighter gets knocked out 2 times in 7 days, he has to take a week off.
That is so unfair.
I know. So what happens to your stick pin?
That is a long story.
Then Charlie unloads the whole sad tale. How he wants to propose to his girl tonight at the fights, but he cannot propose without a ring, and he has to hock the ring to pay Lenny for the fight tickets.
So now I no longer have a stick pin or a ring. With the way my luck is running after tonight, I probably will no longer have a girlfriend.
And who is this broad who is worth so much agita she must be proposed to at the fights?
This is not a broad, Sal. This is Rosie.
Rosie Scatino? Ringside Rosie?
You know her?
Her father is my bookie. Of course I know her.
Well, after tonight, I probably will not.
Do not be so certain, my friend. I have an idea. You got a nickel for a phone call?
Sure.
The next day, I'm coming out of the automat at Times Square. Yes, the automat. Man does not live by blints alone. Anyway, who should I run into but Charlie and Rosie? They are smiling and holding on to each other like high school sweethearts. Charlie has a stick pin back, and when Rosie flashes a ring, it is not the modest sparkler Charlie hocked the day before. Instead, it is a very impressive rock. How Charlie's luck turned around so quickly is a good story, and one which I will tell you in a minute.
Refreshment while you work, for enjoyment any time, chew a stick of Wrigley's Spearmint Gum, the delicious, long-lasting mint flavor of Wrigley's Spearmint cools your mouth and freshens your taste. The good, smooth chewing helps keep you feeling fresh and alert, adds enjoyment to whatever you're doing. So indoors, outdoors, at work, or play, enjoy chewing Wrigley's Spearmint Gum. Wrigley's Spearmint. Refreshing. Delicious.
And now, back to Damon Runyon Theater and the story, Ringside Rosie.
So, how does one phone call turn Charlie's life from disaster to triumph? Well, once Sal gets off the phone, he says for Charlie and Rosie to show up at the Garden box office and just trust him. Charlie was nervous enough just proposing, but not knowing what Sal is planning is giving him, as Ricardo Tunzi would say, svilkas. So, that night at the garden, Charlie and Rosie make their way to the ticket window.
Charlie, this is so exciting!
I hope so.
Who is next?
I guess that is me. I am supposed to tell you that I am Charlie Gleason, and you have some tickets for me?
Ah, yes. Mr. Gleason, we have been expecting you. Here are your tickets, and for the lady, a complimentary box of Cracker Jacks.
Oh, thank you, I am sure.
Seymour, please escort Mr. Gleason and the young lady to their seats.
Of course. Right this way, please.
Oh, Charlie, I am impressed. They are really rolling out the red carpet for us.
Nothing but the best for you, Rosie.
And as they enter the crowded arena, they see the boxing ring way down in the distance.
Charlie, does the ring not look glamorous down there under all those lights?
Yeah, it sure does. Thank you, Seymour. These seats will be fine.
Oh, no, Mr. Gleason. These are not yours. Follow me.
So, they keep following Seymour down to the mezzanine, to the third promenade, to the second promenade, to the loges, and finally to where they cannot go any further without putting on boxing trunks.
Here you go, Mr. Gleason. Row 8, seats 7 and 8.
They are seated at ringside with all the big shots.
Are you sure we are supposed to sit here?
Absolutely. Enjoy the fight, can the Cracker Jacks.
I cannot believe these are really our seats.
Yeah, me neither.
Oh, look, Charlie. We are amongst the swells. There is Mayor O'Dwyer and Mayor LaGuardia. Jack Dempsey is over there talking with Jack LaMotta and Sugar Ray Robinson.
Let us enjoy it while we can.
Charlie still expects somebody to come and throw them out of their $100 seats, but nobody comes, and they settle in for the first fight.
In this corner, from Paterson, New Jersey, 147 pounds of futuristic ultra dude, Jake Killer Whale. And in this corner, at 145 pounds, Staten Island's own Lenny Goldberg.
Goldberg looks just like Ricardo Tunsi.
Now, Miss Rosie Scatino is, of course, a very demure, proper young lady. That is, until the bell rings.
Oh, come on, Ricardo. Hit him! Hit him! Let him have it! Go for the ribs! The ribs! Keep that arm up! Jab! Jab! Look out for his left! Oh! Oh!
I've never seen anybody loves boxing the way you do.
Can I tell you something? And you promise you won't laugh?
Promise.
I have always had a dream of being a round card girl. You know, in the ring, holding up the round numbers.
That is the most beautiful thing I have ever heard.
Now, with all that running around, the gym, the library, the pawn shop, Charlie did not get around to lunch or dinner. And to remind him of this, his stomach starts tapping him on the shoulder.
Hey, Rosie, can I have some of your Cracker Jacks?
Take them all. I am too excited to eat.
So Charlie takes a handful of popcorn and something falls out into his hand. You know, Cracker Jacks, a prize in every box.
What is this?
But this time, the prize is not a tin whistle or a cockamamie tattoo. This time, it is a big, sparkling diamond ring. Charlie has no idea how it got there, but not wanting to waste an opportunity, he gets down on his knees, summons all of his nerve, and he says,
I love you, Rosie Scatino. Will you marry me?
Oh, sure. But you have got to wait until the fights are all over.
So, how does Charlie's nickel bring this miracle about? Turns out, Charlie's pal, Sal Minnelli, called Rosie's father, Scooter Scatino, with whom he is a very tight, and the conversation goes as follows.
Hey, Scooter, it's a Sally.
Salvatore, come stai?
Todo a posto. Hey, what is it you want most in the world?
That Truman pardon Al Capone. Has that man not suffered enough?
Besides that?
Well, that my Rosie finds herself a husband.
You wanted your girl to be happy, right?
Yeah, but mostly I want her out of the house so I can run my book from home. I am tired of going out every day pretending to be a fuller brush man.
I know a guy who wants to marry her.
Does he have a job?
Uh-huh.
And he's a nice boy?
The nicest. And I know she likes him, too.
And he is paisan?
His last name is Gleason.
Well, nobody is a perfect.
They can be engaged tonight if you lay out a little lettuce and make a couple of phone calls.
Okay. Tell me what I gotta do.
Once they hang up, Rosie's pop gets on the phone and arranges the whole thing, the tickets, the ring, even the Cracker Jacks. He is a regular Cupid. If you can picture Cupid in a baggy suit with a 5 o'clock shadow and a cigar hanging out of his mouth. So, it is a year later. I am walking down 42nd Street, and who do I run into but Charlie and Rosie? And they are pushing a baby buggy.
Charlie, is that not Broadway?
Charlie, Rosie, I do not see you for almost a year, and it appears you have been very busy. What, may I ask, is the name of this little stroller jockey?
Broadway, meet Sugar Ray Joe Lewis Jake LaMotta Gleason.
I picked the name myself.
It is a good thing she does not love the ponies, or she would have named him Seabiscuit.
I am indeed happy for you two. Rosie, I suppose you are not getting to as many fights as you would like to.
That is okay. We can listen on the radio.
If we can get little Sugar to sleep.
You know, I did not get you a gift for your wedding.
Oh, no worries.
I know, but listen. Sometime when there is a good fight at the garden and you need somebody to watch Sugar Ray Joe Lewis Jake LaMotta, you can just give a shout to his Uncle Broadway.
That is so nice.
You would really do that for us?
Of course.
And you know how to change a diaper?
You know, on second thought, a toaster would probably be a better wedding present.
And so ends the saga of Ringside Rosie. Another famous Damon Runyon story. Listen next week for The Damon Runyon Theater. The Damon Runyon Theater, with John Brown as Broadway, is directed by Richard Sandville, and the stories are adapted for radio by Russell Hughes. This is a Mayfair production from Hollywood.
That's our Project Audion show for this time. Heard and seen in our cast were Dwayne Nock in New Jersey, Don Paul in California, Andy Hartson-Bowyer in Virginia, Jacob Palka in Illinois, Stanley Director in California, Paul Arbisi in Illinois, Reg Platt in Texas, and Susan Platt in Texas. Casey Keller in California also wrote the script, while Larry Groby in Texas oversaw the production. And nobody was in New York.
What do you know?
We hope you enjoyed this presentation
If so, click a like button, or share the links, or write to us at Project Audion. And be sure to check out our other episodes. We have dozens of classic, entertaining shows for you to listen to or watch. And until next time, thanks for listening.